Down to Brass Stacks. Good morning and welcome. You are on the air.
Morning, Mr. Lynn.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah. As a man, young man, well respected, and a man with passion for the people of Barbados, you cannot be fooled by crocodile tears. Barbados was going through a rough patch for a long time, you know. You know, and I know just now he was trying to defend those that already pay the road tax, like myself. Mm-hmm. I already pay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I already pay, but ain't no problem.
But so, were you calling it crocodile tears?
All right, I'm going to come to that mm-hmm. point. Mr. Johnson is a man that smooth. And he said to all of us, he said, the problem is the administration that people was calling for, oh, they want somebody to get jailed. But he said, listen, it cannot work like that. Because there is nothing in place to say that you could charge someone to misuse of government funds. And he went down the road and he was very clear. He was very, very clear. So those that crying now are asking for a brand new administration to fix things so far. I recall that crocodile tears. Why are we?
But I don't see the link. I don't see the link between the two. The thing is, you pay a road tax for the year. You pay a road tax for a whole year going forward. Then a system comes up that say, listen, you have to pay a road tax at the pump. No, we ain't interested in the road tax you paid before. I don't care if you put it in Mandarin, Chinese, Japanese. It doesn't matter to me. It is not fair.
You know. They never said that they won't care. But Mr. Lane, I know I listened for you for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Not listen to you. I listen. I know that you know that life is not fair. And in this circumstance,
so you know how it gets even more unfair, or how it doesn't change, is by saying it isn't fair and folding your lips, biting your tongue, saying nothing, doing nothing.
I know that you don't believe in that. And
good.
I'm good.
But my concern is about you calling people crocodile tears. Now, as somebody who works with people day in and day out and do home visits and so on, we have this notion that everybody that complains, they don't have a right to complain. When there are some people who are feeling genuine hardship. And therefore, if you can see, my concern with you is about the crocodile tears. Some people are genuinely concerned.
Okay, so, you know why I call it so? And if I have to apologize, I am will. But what I'm saying, Mr. Lane, people need work. Them is the concern, and I know you is an advocate of that.
All right, yes, they need work.
I have always learned to deal with things from the root. You have to deal. You don't trim a tree for it to stop grow. Mm-hmm. You deal with things from the root. Right? Me and you are, there is a lot of people already there, you know.
But listen, I believe that in fairness, right? And the option could be given to those. There are some people who don't care like you, or they don't have to make it mandatory or automatic.
I don't care.
No, but listen, but you
come back in my pocket, but you,
we're good. But listen, let me ask you a question. All right, cool down, settle. Listen, if the option was placed out there where you could go and activate the fair system of the prorate where you get back what is due to you, would you go and collect it, yes or no?
Yes. That's what I'm saying to you. Not that I don't care, but you know what happened? Because of Dennis Dawson. Listen, I love that man.
But Dennis, what are you going to do here now, no?
No, because he make it, he demand so smooth, right?
Mm-hmm.
The funds of the country was misused.
Mm-hmm.
It was misused, but you know what happened? Because we are good men, we gonna turn the other cheek. Let it slide. We are moving on.
But my thing is, though, I am dealing with the fairness. A government should never be seen as a bully. A government should never be seen as unfair. I understand they need money. I understand that the country broke, right? I understand that the country is broke. But sir, understand me, the people in the country break too.
Yes. And you asked me a question, if I will go back for the money, I will go back for it fast because I need it too.
Well, you proving the point. My thing is, I put my opinion out there. It's just one opinion. I remember they said that opinions are like, anyhow, I put my opinion, you could put yours. And that's what the program is for. Okay? All right? Okay, good. Anyhow. Brah Stocks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am fine, thanks. And you, madam?
I am on top of the world.
On top of the world. Don't fall off.
You have started your morning on a roll, man.
Mm-hmm. It depends on a roll of what, though.
You are really and truly hyped up and passionate this morning. Yes. No, I have two brief points. One, gay marriage. I am one, Corey. I am not interested in how the world has changed, how it has become. Marriage is a union between a male and a female. It's a sacrament handed down by the Lord Jesus. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I am not interested if the people want to be together, but I'm telling you, marriage, you are married just like me. It's a sacrament. Mm-hmm. Know what the word I'm saying? It's a sacrament.
So you would prefer gay union then?
But if they want gay union, but you see that thing about
marriage, right?
Marriage.
I know that that's what was causing the problem, you know? I knew
but
it.
But that is what it's called. I know that. I'm not interested if they want to be with 10 people mm-hmm. of the same sex. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying that sacrament, and that is the mm-hmm. word that people are missing, the sacrament of marriage mm-hmm. is between a man and a woman to procreate. Mm-hmm. That's the end of that. There's nothing more to be said about that. So I'm really not interested how the world has changed and who want to do what and who want two men to go and get married to women, etc., etc. In my opinion, that's not righteous in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And okay. It's not me saying so. The Bible says that. Right. My next point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy, Corey, that there are no summer camps this year. And why? I have been speaking about that for a long time. I'm glad that our government will be restructuring, redefining, and looking into all of the semantics and the issues and the problems of the summer camps so that next year we will be on stream and on target. Because the past summer camps, you know all the stories.
Yes, yes.
They were right
yes,
up there.
Yes.
And because I myself am involved in summer camps privately over the last 25 years, I know the issues. And because children are the key factor in camps, I would like it when it comes to the four next year, and I know that we are going to do that, you have situations and curriculums for age groups. Certain age groups. You're not mixing the 3-year-olds with the 10-year-olds and the 10-year-olds with the 15-year-olds.
Right. And have them supervised by the same 15-year-olds.
Correct.
But let us expose some stuff to the people. I don't want it to be a conversation between just you and I. I want to bring the public in on this. Now, for the past, since they started that free summer camp thing and they got the volunteers and all type of teenagers, you know, bound to get this little stipend and call themselves counselors, I actually, a special role was created for me unofficially where I had to go to summer camps to deal with some issues, some problems. I didn't have to deal with the broken hands and so on because of lack of supervision because I am not a doctor. But I had to deal with a lot of unsupervised teenagers in these summer camps finding themselves in some problems, sometimes sexual, sometimes violence, etc.
Right.
Now, so when you started out talking about you were glad that they were out, I was a little concerned because the whole idea of a lot of parents not being able to find proper supervision for their children. Then you reminded me that they didn't even have proper supervision in that case. What my concern would be is that the whole idea of reviewing it in the way it was reviewed, I think it could have been handled better. And why I say that is because we talked about university and credits as opposed to letting them pay the fee. And I think that with the older university students who could, you know, you could work it out in a way that that could start some credits and so on. Now, it'd be too last minute to do that, but I believe that an attempt could have been made still. That is what working around the clock management and leadership is about, you know, grabbing the bull by the horn. And I think we need to be able to make these type of synergies, not so like that's university over there, this is summer camp over there, but be able to merge the two needs and wants together to create a balance and create what you could be considered a quote-unquote perfect situation.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I agree with that, Corey. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I am sure that we are going to look into that. Because, Corey, really and truly, when I am a girl guide, I really, and because Girl Guide is a structured organization, you have to have certain things like first aiders, people with CPR, quartermasters, commandants, all that for a camp. I'm saying summer camps, national summer camps, should be, I mean, on the same course. Mm. In other words, but what would have to happen, they would have to bring in NGOs, say like even scouts and girl guides and so on, to really set the precedence forward. Because summer camps need to have people at it, as you said, not unsupervised people, who are not trained in things like first aid, CPR, etc.
Like, you really inspiring me this morning, because you are reminding me of how we used to think about this thing. We have a lot of retired teachers out there who still want to use their skills. We have the BDF, we have the cadets, we have a lot of service clubs, a lot of people who want to give service, a lot of people who may be bored, a lot of people may have time, and on the other hand, we have a whole set of things that we want to teach these children and cram it into the curriculum. Or you need to learn about tourism, or they need to learn about entrepreneurship. I mean, what better time than to put it in a better educational framework for me, which is to make learning fun, make it practical, make it relevant. You go and do your tours and you do your practicals and so on. This is the time for that. This is the time for them to live, to stretch those muscles and those arms, to grow.
Right, I learned and to strive skills, from Corey.
Strive
learn
from
other skills. Because Corey, years ago, these summer camps that they used to have, I mean, children not getting meals, etc., crying and all that type of thing. I mean, as a girl guide myself, I was really appalled over the years, and that's why I had to really speak out about it on a platform, because I think that really and truly, if you're going to do those things, do not put a square peg in a round hole and think that you know how to do it. And this is what I want to see, inclusion of people. If you know, Corey, how to do pottery, let me call you for you to set that tone.
Another thing, you keep reminding me of good points, Sandy. I want to thank you really for calling. But listen, when you talk about pottery, only yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying, and he was agreeing with me, that in terms of going into the 21st century, this is the time where you can even have a lot more scientific camps, you know, the renewable energy and solar and a set of just, you know, you still have the craft and the motor skills and creativity with the lolly sticks and the pottery and so on, right? But this is a good opportunity to give our young people an advantage on the globe for tomorrow, which is really to bring them into robotics and all these different things. It is not impossible. It's not totally expensive.
Don't forget the soft skills.
Remember I said we talk about tourism and so on, so we still can do the public speaking, the manners, the values, the hygiene, the puberty, the adult. We're doing the whole gambit.
Correct.
But we cannot leave out the 21st century, because we are putting our young people at a disadvantage.
We are
sending them in the 21st century with an 18th century, 19th century syllabus. It is not fair to them. Bloomberg put all the studies out there, and I'm sure those in the ministry have access to it, just such as I. So we know what 2030 will look like. The graduating classes of primary school in 2018, and I said this at my graduation feature address in Gordon Waters and at Wilkie. What would 2030 look for them when they become working age? Why are we still preparing them with the same things that we were prepared with
in 1990?
We need to stop that, and we need to stop it forthwith. Anyhow, Sandy, I want to thank you. We got to keep moving. We got to take a break right now. This is Down to Brass Stacks. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Stacks. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes. Are you only concerned about those that owe taxes from June because it's close to the 1st of July?
No, I concerned from the 3rd of July last year.
Because I was saying, in my opinion, if you excuse the ones that owe in June, then what about those that from January to May? So
right.
Right.
I agree. I hope to look at it, and I hope that they apply a fair method, or they come out and they say, you know, give us a break or something. Do something. But I always believe in fairness. You know, people tell me I want a world of perfection and other type of different things. But just fair is fair, you know. I don't know what else could be applied to that. When we had the issue with the water, we had people paying the minimum charge for water monthly. And that charge is really whether you use water or not, because they have to pump the water to your pipe. If you're overseas or not, they still have to pump it. So you get a minimum charge. And I can agree with that. But you have people who did not have water pumped to their pipes for months. And you still charging the minimum. And they said then, and they say, no, it should not have to pay. And in this case, I will maintain the same thing. There are mechanisms that can be put in place. And an option should be given. Those who want to help the country a little extra, they can go ahead and leave the money there. But those who are being asked to pay at the pump now and pay at MTW before should have the option whether to choose to pay once or twice. And I'm not moving away from that point.
Yeah, but that one caused a lot of confusion now with everybody coming back for money.
No. This is not 1962. There's ways to do credits. It can be done electronically, or you can put it with the tax returns. there's ways to do it, ma'am. You don't say everybody who got back the money come MTW tomorrow. That is organized confusion. That is mass foolishness. I am not proposing that at all. I give my country more credit for common sense than that. I believe that my country have the ability to create a system to get the fairest possible policy implementation in place, full stop.
Right. Also, okay, I also agree with you that to go back to the point, to get me a sticker or something is nonsense. I see the insurance companies, in conjunction with the police, to come up with a color-coded sticker or this and place it on the same side that you have.
And play it. And license plate. We had issue with the license plate. All of these are golden opportunities to fix some long-standing systemic problems. And we must grab this opportunity at this stage to fix them. So you get the plate, you get the thing is, this is not the first time it's being done around the world. We can look for best practices. We are not inventing a system. But we like sometimes the lazy approach. That is what it is. We need to, you know, sit down, think it out, implement it and go. And the thing is, sometimes you implement something, you may not foresee something, you may not anticipate the reaction and so on. After you get the reaction, you go back and you assess and you go again. You're not perfect, and so neither are us on this end. So the public is not perfect and the government is not perfect. But we must all work together.
Yes. Okay. Agreed. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Brastats. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning to you, Mr. Lane.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, all of a sudden, people now seeing the importance of tax and they want to support the paying of the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since, so they're trying to tell them that is the way how the government has to get money, but it doesn't seem like they don't think that way, but now everybody on board now. But I would tell them the reason why, or I forget to tell them ever since, why the present administration have to raise your taxes is because they make a lot of promises, pie-in-the-sky promises, that they know they probably couldn't fulfill, but they have to get the money now to see if they could fulfill those promises, because the main aim and what has made the Barbers Labour Party look better than the Democratic Labour Party is that they do things to try to stay in power. They do not want to lose power. They're not the end thing. And I will tell you the next
reason. Isn't that they do what they have to do and stay in power, or they do it just solely to stay in power?
To stay in power.
Okay.
Yes, that's how they operate.
That's a weird way to operate.
Huh?
That's a weird way to operate. I think when you look at the teams that we've had over a period of time, I believe that they sit down. I don't think that they sit down and come up with policies just to say, let me be empowered to implement policies. I think that these are genuine people who see a desire for change. Right? And when they talk about change, I talk pocket change only. I talk about change as in they want to see improvement and they work towards it. And they work hard towards it to get the opportunity to go again. Yes, they want to stay in power. But yes, you want to know that you've left a legacy, that you've brought about change to improve your lot, your family's lot, and your country's lot. They can be, I don't think, a nobler profession if you look at it that way.
Let me tell you something, Corey. Any persons or a group of people that got the interest of country at heart would not be for the last 10 years not trying to agree on nothing that the other government had to say or do.
And you see that from the entire team there?
If I say it from the entire team?
Yeah.
Well, you could
you start in a well. I want you to tell me if you see it from the entire team there.
Well, there wasn't much support, if there was any, right?
But the question is that do you see it from the entire team? Do you see that entire team of people there as the persons who were out there?
Correct.
So that moves the first point.
Well, that's what he's trying to show you. The last
you're trying to show me that you're moving your points.
Well, you got to actually look at the leader.
Mm-hmm. Right, but if you want to talk about the leader, then talk about the leader. Then we can come to the next question.
The one that was in the opposition.
Let me come to the next question. Was there anything to agree with?
Was there? Yes, I would say. Did they know that the state of the country, and I think that they pretend that they don't know for political reason. And
but you don't give people a pass because of the state of the country. You give them a fail because of the state of the country, because they got it there. And you say, listen, it's not good enough. What was there to agree on? If you give me any, I will agree with you. If I give me any, I don't disagree, I will do the same. So tell me, what policies were put in place that should have been agreed with that was not agreed with?
Corey?
Yes, please.
You the need to add to raise taxes.
No, that's the worst one. That's what got me here. That's what killed me. Suck all the money out of the economy. So nobody can invest.
Corey, what are we doing it now then?
Because if we're doing it now the same way, we creating problems. Now you see people that give back so you can spend. You put that confidence there so people can build businesses. You still need the tax, yes. If you overtax, you're doing the same foolishness. So let me agree on that. But let me also answer the question as asked. What policy mechanisms and so on that was put in place that should have been agreed with that was not agreed with? Carly, you still there?
Yeah, I still here.
Oh, I thought you'd fall off the edge of the earth.
I speaking in general, so the NSRL was all that bad that it couldn't have been agreed with.
The NSRL I actually agreed with, but I disagree with it. The compounding way, number one, being added on at every stage, and also having it along with VAT. I would have one or the other, and I preferred NSRL because it was upfront. You don't have no owing, and you got carrying, and you didn't have that. And the whole idea is that you got it upfront. So I agreed with that one, but not implemented alongside VAT. Now, let me put the disclaimer in capital, in red, and underline it about 3-4 times. I'm no economist. But that is just my reading of the situation, being analytical of it.
But my whole thing is, Corey, though, that they were not willing to cooperate with the government.
Because that's the job of the opposition, I forget.
But now they're coming now and telling everybody no gotta cooperate with them.
They're not saying that. I find that people are willing to cooperate with them.
Oh, people are willing.
I see people with a whole different demeanor now. The willing to do everything though. You understand? When you apply for those jobs and you sit in those seats, you have to accept responsibility where things go wrong.
Yeah,
now I believe that the government was given a hard time on the last occasion. I agree with that. But I agree a lot had to do with their making. Some was their making, some wasn't. But they never to me made a true effort to be true politicians in the sense that they will sit, negotiate, bring you into the confidence and, you know, deal and wheel and make things right. I always got the sense that they felt that they would reign over us. They would beat us down with the big stick. And they never saw, you know, listen. And I thought that they'd keep doubling down and they made matters for themselves all the time. They made no friends and they made many enemies.
Mm-hmm. Right. I could agree with some of the things that they did. I mean, leadership was was bad. I believe that someone.
And you are partly to blame. You personally. Yes, because you supported them, and instead of going to them quietly, and probably sometimes a little shot across the bow on the ear too, and say to them, listen, you're going wrong. You got here, and you supported. And therefore, they had a chorus of people not saying, look, Emperor, that is not really a shirt, nor a pants, nor a boxer. You are actually naked. And therefore, they had to find out in the worst way about 3 o'clock, and even before, because the writing was on the wall, on May 24th. That they had absolutely no clothes. They were freeballing. They were really in a state. And that's because their supporters never really said to them, this is an issue. You're naked.
Well, I was one that was opposing to Corey. But let me
probably opposed on another station.
Let me move on to this point that you want to make that you said earlier. I must make it clear to you though that on the when it comes to gear issue, a marriage is a union. You can't separate that reality.
So when you a union is a marriage, but a marriage is not a union.
A marriage is a union,
but a union don't have to be a marriage.
Corey.
Yes, please.
A union don't have to be a marriage. But
don't have to be
so
a marriage.
So how you can actually, when you're talking about gay union, what really... It can go through a ceremony just like the marriage.
They could do whatever. They could jump over a stick or, you know, a candlestick. They could do anything they want.
But I can tell you something. Once they go and get that certificate, they're making it like a marriage. And they think that, you see the separate state from church, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what in the Bible, you know is the harlot in the Bible?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
It will be the church, right?
No.
It ain't church.
Uh-uh. No.
Corey, I will go. You tell me what is your understanding.
My thing is right is I the word marriage, because people see it as one of the three things ordained by God, mm-hmm. as like it is sacred, and therefore the use of words is the bigger problem than even the acceptance and tolerance and all the different words here, you know. And I told you I only discovered that recently by having some conversations with people in the situation. Mr. Corey, we don't have to go before no priest or anything. What they want to be able to do is to make certain legal decisions. Mm-hmm. That is what they want. So the word marriage is neither here nor there with them. But it is always obviously here or there with the religious sect. And because the thing is, I think that we have matured as a society where we are less interested in each other's bedroom and how many men and women and who people sleeping with. There are still people like that. There will always be people like that, as my opinion. But at the end of the day, I think that what they want is fairness. If two people of different genders are able to get together, why can't we of same genders be able to get together and have that legal certificate to make the decisions? There are some gray areas. Should they be able to adopt children? Should they be able to? Yes, please.
You know what you said earlier? If they want fairness, then the pedophiles and everybody, the people that go with animals, everybody can come forward and talk about fairness. So you see where you're going?
Right. No, not where I am going, where they are going. I know where I am.
But
what I'm saying is,
we put morality in a society, it can decay. That's how Rome came down.
And the thing is that the standards within a society and the morality within a society is ever changing, because there are things that were accepted before that are not accepted today. I am told that in the 50s and 60s especially, there were so many public beatings of women by their husbands, the men, the outside men, in the street like nothing. If you see that today, apart from seeing it on a cell phone video on WhatsApp in no time, there will be total outrage. Those are things I understand happened as commonplace before. So the morality of a society evolves, and I think that we've evolved to the stage where the persons could have the union. I don't think we've evolved to the stage where we're willing to accept the marriage. That is what we have to look at.
All right, well, let's do this one. Man may change, but God never changes.